We'll be bringing the meeting to order at 7 o'clock. The invocation will be done by Mike Spence and the flag salute by Steve Cox.
You're right.
Yeah, but no one stole the morning.
Yeah, I guess so, it is.
Going first.
We congregation, my Father, we're grateful that we can gather as the West Union High School District Board of Trustees and as concerned as staff and parents. And we're grateful for the opportunity we have to serve and ask that that would bless this meeting, that it be a productive one and focus on the educational needs of children. And we also want to give thee thanks for the teachers that we will honor here tonight and for the sacrifices they make on behalf of the kids they teach. And this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me in a salute to our flag. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Mrs. Fuller?
Here.
Mr. Fuller?
Here.
Mr. Spence?
Here.
Mr. Cox?
Here.
Mr.
Hoover?
Here.
Mr.
Kay?
Mr. Davis? Here.
Present. This will bring us to the first agenda item, and as we do every year, we'll be recognizing the Teacher of the Year. This year, we'll be doing it for the 2008-2009 school year. And before we start, I'd like to applaud all of the teachers who will be that work with our children every day, and every one of you are Teachers of the Year, but we'll select a distinct few this evening.
Okay, when I call your name, I'd like your principal to come up and also the Teacher of the Year, starting with California and Rosemary Collar. And don't forget the goodie bag, yeah.
Goodie bag.
Thank you.
To share with your class.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for everything you do.
Thank you. Round of applause, please. From Cameron Elementary School, Teresa Amarin. Round of applause. From Merced Elementary School, Donna Slater. Thank you very much. From Merlinda, Kim Gonzalez.
Very important.
Got the picture?
And here's your bag.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. From Monte Vista, Aaron Nakahara.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
And a goodie bag. Your class.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
From Orangewood, New Annie Dip. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. And here's our certificate in appreciation. And a goodie bag.
Thank you. from Vine, Wendy Larson Silva. Congratulations. From West Cove, Patrice Kelly. From San Jose Edison Academy, we have one from primary, one from secondary, Liz Bradbury from primary, and Brian Warren from secondary. Congratulations. From Edgewood, Craig Michael. Congratulations from Hollandcrest, Claudia Cochran. That's okay, take your time. Where's Grace? Grace, does somebody else have a camera? Where's Grace?
Did you want to?
Somebody take a picture for us? Yeah. Congratulations. From Walnut Grove, Karen Bonstead.
Thank you for everything you do at Walnut Grove. And again, for yourself.
Congratulations. From Coronado, Marla Spicer. From West Covina High School, Gary Charlton. Congratulations. And the Teacher of the Year for last year is Mr. Jeff Gilkman from Coronado. District Teacher of the Year.
Once again, we know how much teachers put in every day, and not just during the school hours. But you get there early, you stay late, and I know many of you have family members here, and we appreciate them letting you give the time to our students, and we know it takes time away from your families. And we appreciate you and your families and how much you give to students in our district. We're going to take a little bit of time now. There's refreshments out in the back, so everybody can have the opportunity to thank you for all you do. And once again, let's give all of our teachers.
We have a whole group up here. You want
oh, we need to get a picture of everybody.
Group so picture who, with board.
Our teachers of
I'll
the
go
year.
Up. You want to go up, George, Jessica?
Here so everyone can be seen.
They're still coming.
Couple more, squeeze in. Smile.
Join us for refreshments in the back.
Hey, Stevie. How's it going?
Really good.
I want to resign.
Yeah. I've been dying. What's your last name? I'm sorry.
Hillman,
thank you. I've been dying. I keep saying Detman. Now I've been bugging Lily. Oh, thank you. Good to see you again. Nice to see you. Thank you. I know. She's going to take a lot of work, though.
Hey, she's a
I don't know. I'm not voting for this item on here where she gets extra money, too. Plus, I saw. I didn't know Frank was he's a full time teacher, too. When did that happen?
Right before school started.
Wow.
At first he started at 40, and then it got bumped up a little. And then like maybe a couple days before school, they're like, oh, you're 100%.
Wow.
Yeah, so we got really lucky.
That's awesome. He couldn't get any better. So.
Oh, I know.
Wow.
I know. Yeah, and it helps too just have you there.
I read in the high school newspaper something to the effect that he tried fourth grade science and it didn't happen for him.
Uh-huh.
I understand that.
Mr. Cox, how are you? I'm all right. I'm not looking forward to this. What?
I don't want to be on her.
I'm going to still do it. Oh, you got to. I mean, you can't let it go. I'm just going to be very calm at the beginning and say,
No, doctor told me I could run today.
The surgery, that's
yeah.
right.
And so he said I could, yeah, he said I could basically do anything. I mean, I have heard really bad. My abdomen is just killing me. He laughed and said, you're not going to be able to, but you can run.
So did he recommend like starting off walking or just
I just asked him if I could walk. He said, I suppose I care, you can run. So I'm not going to tear anything. I'm not going to mess up. I've got an abdominal strain in here that's just killing me. But that's just me being stupid. It had nothing to do with the stupid. So I'm going to start walking now.
Oh, okay, that's
he
good.
He said I could walk. I'll start up the routine. So. Back
yeah. That's good. Yeah. I forgot. I totally forgot about the stupid. Yeah, that's right. Well, I'm glad. Now you can start.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
How's the team doing?
Are you busy?
Are you busy?
I'm
always
busy.
Good.
Yeah.
Doing really good.
Good news is.
Our sophomore girls won, like they break it up by grade. Our sophomore girls won, our junior girls were second.
That's a good news. They're always new.
Boys did pretty good. So
and they've been doing it before, you just don't know it. So I'm telling you guys, you have good luck, you'll turn around and see who it is.
Really?
It's already happened. You watch teacher's talk and you watch stuff and you're teaching the watch stuff because those
I can find out for sure. But I know it's always in October, like mid-October.
You know pretty well what's that. I like to take your
like they have. Didn't you like want something hurt? That's going to hurt. That's fine. When I'm off the board and no one's standing up for it, that's great. You go get yours. You get yours even more. It's all fine.
Whatever.
I decided those are the words I use, by the way.
Yeah. That was a very nice thing.
Oh, the way I was thinking about that, I need to call Wendy Duncan.
$100. That's what she said.
Oh, yeah. Say, hey, I'm just letting you know,
yeah, we were
she's in the district.
No, one time, Lakeshore gave them the...
part of my guerrilla warfare.
They're cute.
Very cute.
I went in September for the end of session, but I don't have to go back. I'll go up in October, but for something else.
You don't have to go for special sessions?
I might. We'll see. Only once a month. Although January, I'm up there more in January and February. But I won't be up there at all in December, probably not. In November, I'll be up once. I got to do some interviews. But I was going to Sacramento all the time anyway.
I know.
Before, so it's not like I'm actually traveling less than I used to.
Well, do you like it though? Because I had to travel in another job, and
I hate traveling.
It. Yeah, me too.
I'm traveling much less than I used to. Last year was a lot, but even before that it was a lot. But now it's dropped below even pre last year. So
for a while it was DC every 2-3 weeks.
See, I would hate that.
Yeah.
I do have to go to Texas. Austin. Actually, it's during the big music festival. So I got to find a way to
Austin City Limits, that type of stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's the same weekend. I didn't know that.
We'll be bringing the meeting to order in 1 minute.
Normally, I've been in February. I got to see the bats. I haven't seen the bats either.
You got to check out a show then.
Well, when I'm there before, I've gone to the club before, but Austin City Limits is going on now.
Hi, how are you?
Hey.
Hang in there.
Thank you.
Mike asked that the changes be highlighted.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what the changes were?
What actually happened is on this one, they had...
So we had to take them off. No, so on the one that we had,
I was there in 66, 67 as a freshman. I ended up, my family moved over toward to South Hills, and so I graduated in 70. But I was there for that 1 year. You weren't ever at Traywick, were you? No. So it was just that.
We'll
one
be
year.
Bringing the meeting back to order.
But I'd have thought you were assistant principal. I must have thought bigger and better.
Well, wait a minute.
Because I have a question about the thing that's different.
Okay. Well, he's up. She's up. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I thought so, too.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah. Jessica!
Good to see you. I'm glad
Thank you.
You stopped by for
yeah,
the
you bet. Uh-huh.
We're bringing the meeting back to order at
7:23. Maybe you are.
Oh, okay, okay.
Report of action taken in closed session. On item number 2B, after due consideration, the board voted 3-0 with two abstentions to approve a proposed compromise and release agreement to resolve the pending federal court action and all potential or future disputes. Performance and implementation of the compromise and release agreements is still contingent on approval by the United States District Court and retained jurisdiction over the payments of funds. Moving on to the hearing session. Is there anything any board member would like to report out? Student board members report.
Hello. Thank you for having me here tonight. Just to update you about what's going on at West Covina High School, our back-to-school night was last Tuesday. It was a great turnout with parents, and thank you for everyone here who attended. And as of now, our school is going under quite a bit of maintenance, as we all have seen. And we are currently getting our gym graphics done. And a graphic artist named Ed Polbinska from USA Graphics is currently working on our gym. And in our performing arts, Footloose auditions has just begun today. And our fine arts are very excited about that. And unfortunately, our rally has been postponed, our collegiate rally. There has been a slight repairment that needs to be done on our away bleachers. And Renaissance is currently working hard to promote College Week as of due to the postponement. And our senior college Q&A session is at lunch tomorrow. So as our seniors are very excited as application season is coming on. And Friday is our home football game at our stadium versus Glendora High School. That's pretty much it. Thank you very much.
I have no blue cards in front of me for individuals who would like to make public comment. Was there anybody who did not have the opportunity to fill out a blue form but wished to address the board at this time? Seeing no one, we'll move on to the business portion of our session. We need to approve the agenda and consent items. Is there anything anyone would like to take off of consent?
Item 6 and item 10.
Is there anything anyone would like to add to consent? Is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
I have a comment.
Mr. Spence?
Yeah, I will be voting against the approval of the agenda and consent items. At our last board meeting, a resolution that I wanted the board to consider concerning the firewall that between student data and teacher evaluation that keeps us from being able to apply for California funds was tabled until there was more information available from the state. Last Tuesday, I provided more information that was available, and that item didn't get back on the agenda, so I'll be voting against this item.
All in favor of the agenda and consent items?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
The next item will be item number 4, the reconsideration of the motion regarding the resolution for authorization for services outside the credentialed area. Will someone move this?
Would you like to comment first?
No, we need a motion and we need a motion for it to be reconsidered.
I was going to move it. I had a comment. And
okay. Is there a second before we comment?
I'll second it for discussion.
It's been moved by George Fuller and seconded by Jessica Shoemaker to reconsider the motion taken at the September 8, 2009 Board of Education meeting regarding the resolution for authorization for service outside credentialed area. Mr. Fuller, you had a comment?
Yes. When I initially voted for this, why I asked for reconsideration was I was led from the podium here to believe that every teacher at the San Jose Academy was enrolled in a credentialing class, and I walked away with that idea, and that every teacher that would have been recommended for waiver had a reasonable opportunity to obtain that proper credential. In checking, I find that not every teacher is enrolled. There's multiple sections of the CSET that need to be passed, which is a very difficult test to move forward on. And in addition, there is one teacher that, in all likelihood, will not be, at the end of the year, able to meet the requirements.
Can I just interrupt just a second? Are we going to
debate the issue?
Debate the issue now, or are we going to first reconsider, and then once we've agreed to reconsider, are we then going to
I have the floor, and
He was explaining why he put it on.
And I think I have a right to.
So he was explaining why he's asked to have the reconsideration.
And I'm not.
And then we'll take the vote.
Yeah, and I'm to carry it on. So I have these concerns that came up. I have heard that perhaps there is. I am willing to move to table this item for 2 weeks to allow San Jose Edison to submit a written report of where they're going with these teachers and what they foresee them doing and the probability of them passing. And then if they don't pass at the end of the year, what their alternative remedy will be. So it's clearly to the teachers what will happen if they don't pass at the end of the year and have their credential, and what San Jose Edison will be doing, and I will submit that as tabling this for 2 weeks.
We can't act on tabling it until there's actually been a vote. Is all in favor of...
I don't think we're done discussing the reconsideration part of it.
Would you like to... Do you have something to add?
Well, I will vote to oppose reconsideration.
Okay.
And I will vote to oppose reconsideration. I was actually very concerned because when I read the background... on the agenda item, it says, at the September 8, 2009 Board of Education meeting, the board approved a resolution to authorize service outside the credential letter for one WCUSD teacher and five San Jose Edison teachers. After receiving further information as to the timeline that the listed teachers have had to complete their credentials, there's a request from a member of the board to bring this item back for reconsideration. And I was kind of confused by that because the first information I had received from the district concerning this issue is dated on Friday, September 18th, and was in my agenda packet. So I don't understand how an item could have been placed on the agenda for reconsideration with that information being provided to maybe one or more board members, but not all board members.
It was my understanding that Mr. Fuller requested that at the board table, and that's probably why he received it.
I think our information is not secret. I think if we come in any ask anything about what we vote on, we have a right for clarification.
Well, I don't disagree with that. What I'm saying is that if it was so critical that on Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever you considered the agenda, I don't understand why we weren't provided with the information until the Friday packet with a memo dated on Friday. What was the information given earlier, and is that memo or that information available to the rest of the board?
I don't think there was any memo. I think it's clear. I think you have the information.
Yeah, dated September 18th on Friday. But this agenda item was in that Friday packet. So how was information provided to the board, or some board members, but not all board members?
It was my understanding that Mr. Fuller, as many of us do, call the superintendent after the board meeting and ask for clarification. He asked specific questions, which were answered because he had called. And then at that time, when he received the answers to his questions, he asked for it to be re-agendized. To the best of my knowledge, there was no memo that went out. It was a phone call with specific questions, which were answered at that time to that board member. And I know many of us, he probably gets a call from each and every one of us after most board meetings.
Well, I know the previous week we did receive a special... envelope from the district office that provided information about one of the agenda items that is on here. You know, so that's why I was confused to see again. You know,
well,
the
there was no memo
on Friday, as well as an agenda item.
But you do have the information.
I do now.
Good.
I didn't before.
So we're out in public, and you have the information, and we're
now
ready
I
to
do,
vote.
Yes.
There's many times. The superintendent is prompted by a certain question, and she feels that that she's given the information to one over the phone, and then she'll put it in a memo to all of us because she felt it was important enough to share with all of the board. There is a motion on the floor. All in favor of this motion?
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
No. 1-4. It passes. It fails. We are moving on to
so we're not going to reconsider it.
We're not reconsidering it.
So we don't have.
There's nothing else to do. It's not being reconsidered. The item number 6, Mr. Spence, you took this off the.
Yes, I did take this off, and you know, one thing that would be helpful in the future for staff is if we could know what the changes were when a revision is provided for us. You know, if things are deleted. Who was deleted and who was added?
when we receive a revision at the board table. But I did notice that the teacher stipend for Joel Lovato was removed from this revision, and I was curious if I can know why that was removed, because I was prepared to vote for that stipend today, and I'm confused on why it came off the revision.
It came off the revision because it actually they Xeroxed the wrong page. The page that you got today is the accurate page. We don't give stipends for elective chairman at the middle school level.
Thank you.
Is there a motion on
I'll move it.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Steve Pratt. I don't know who I heard first. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It passes unanimously. We're moving on to item number 10. Mr. Spence, you took this off of consent.
I did. I had a question about item number B, the Delinka Group LLC, that provides the redevelopment assistance to districts. And I guess I was a little confused, because when I read this, we're asked to approve just phase one of three possible phases. I want to make sure that's correct, with $11,000. And I guess the question I have is, who does this now? Because I thought this was something that was being done now as far as calculating, you know, what our pass-throughs are from redevelopment agencies. And so, you know, I'm curious on why we'd be hiring an outside firm to do it and why we'd be doing it with a flat fee rather than some kind of contingency that if they found some kind of mistake in our district staff, they'd get a percentage of it, you know, which is a common way these kinds of things are done.
Okay.
Those are my questions.
Let me ask Mr. Frutos to address that issue.
What we did with the Delinka Group is there's a group of districts in our area. There are about seven districts, Covina Valley, Roland, Temple City, Pomona, that joined forces to seek further information on redevelopment agreements. The first part of the question was, who does it in the district? Right now, the business office. We have a report that we get every year from the county on the redevelopment agreements in our community. However, what this firm did that we liked is they pre-identified additional redevelopment sections that can generate funds. The reason why we didn't approve phases two and three, or we didn't bring into your approval, is that phase one will identify at least $50,000. And we have a choice to do phases two and three in-house if we have the ability to negotiate with the city for the expansion of the redevelopment pass-through amount, or we can go out to bid. So right now we know we're going to generate approximately $50,000 more at a cost of $11,600, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. However, there's the possibility, and we already think there are two redevelopment projects from prior years that were calculated inappropriately. And the reason why the district doesn't have that is we don't have the, quite frankly, the knowledge to go into pass-through agreements that take many years to see how the boundaries are, et cetera, et cetera. So we are hoping to bring much more than the $50,000, but at this point we believe that we can, without going out and getting anybody to do phase two and three, to generate about $50,000. If there's more, what we will do, we will ask the board to allow us to go out to bid, because phases two and three can be done by a variety of things. That's our goal.
Thank you.
Is there a motion?
I'll move.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
It was moved by George Fuller and seconded by Jessica Shoemaker to approve the consultant services agreements with CASM to authorize the budget transfer purchase orders and warrants in support of this agreement. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? It passes unanimously. This moves us to item number 11, the request from San Jose Edison for an amendment to the 2008 charter agreement. Ms. Castillo.
Board members, as you know, our charter agreement with San Jose Edison basically talks about how many students will be enrolled in the school as total and enrolled in classes. And at the time of our charter agreement, they agreed to remain with class size reductions in grades K through 3. Subsequent to that, I had a request to augment grades 1, 2, and 3 by 12 students. I am recommending approval for this item for 1 year, and then have San Jose Edison go back to the numbers that were agreed upon in our agreement.
Questions? Mr. Cox?
Yeah, there, in the transmittal, there are 1, 2, 3 items addressed. Are they going to be specifically required to do that, or is that just a suggestion? Or is that something that they want to do?
They requested that they have the ability to hire 2 teachers to go back to the class size reduction with these additional students. Opposite of that would mean that these 12 students at each grade level would have to leave their school because the agreement calls for a certain class size.
So, I mean, kids are fluid and this sort of thing. So, I mean, do they have to have, you know, the combination classes? I mean, are we holding them to the combination classes?
That's what they have agreed to.
And then the use of 2 specific rooms?
That's what they have agreed to.
Mr. Fuller?
Have we heard from Edison as to why they need this class increase?
I've had discussions with Dr. White, and she has agreed with the waiver request for this year. Originally, the principal of the school enrolled 12 extra students, which are now at the school, and Dr. White Knight felt that in the best interest of those students that have been added, that we allow them to remain for this full year, the 36 students, 12 per grade level. And we agreed together that it was in the best interest of these students to allow them to remain.
Okay, but my question is, I remember a very direct question to Dr. Patton during negotiations. Are you going to increase class size to make up revenue in terms of what's going on? If you listen to the tapes, it's there. And the answer was no. And yet unilaterally, there was a decision to add 36 more students. Can I ask you, is there any explanation why unilaterally we have a cap, we had a cap written in, why the principal unilaterally went and violated that cap and went above and enrolled 36 extra students? Was there any explanation why that was ever done?
As you know, the state allowed school districts and charter schools to raise class size for fiscal reasons with a penalty depending on, you know, how once you do it, you have to do it for 3 years. But anyway, people were allowed to do that by the state. Dr. Patton decided that that was in the best interest of her school and added the students. Subsequent to that, we had a conversation about the charter agreement. And she stated for fiscal reasons she wanted to increase by these 36 students. After discussing it with Dr. White, we decided that in the best interest of these students, we would add 2 teachers, keep the students at the school, and educate them there with the caveat that in the next year, we don't backfill to an excess of 36 kids for their total enrollment.
And you mentioned what bothers me, or what's getting to me somewhat, was last week we went over bonuses of an excess of $140,000 to various staff, $32,000 to the principal, $8,000 to the business manager. And we have those bonuses, and we turn them right around, and the first day of class, we're outside the charter that we worked so hard to develop. And it causes me to lose confidence. And I really empathize with parents who went through a process to get there. But we have a serious situation, I think, in that we need to show exercise that we are, in fact, delivering what we promised to the community and to the students and to everyone, what would take place in terms of charter agreements, like the teachers. Suddenly, maybe not, this and that. We want qualified teachers, and that's what's there. And I'm in the same way with here. I empathize with the students, but we have a good system, and I want to hold them to that charter now. I myself in education, when I hear somebody say, next year, I cringe, because next year means somebody loses this year, and I want to make sure that we go this year, that we make it, and so I'll be voting no on this item for that reason, to maintain the credibility.
Did you have anything? Did you have anything? No. Mr. Spence?
What happens if this fails?
If this waiver request fails, 36 students have to go back to their schools.
Based on what?
Based on the charter agreement that we have with San Jose Edison.
And do we have a legal opinion saying that?
We don't have a legal opinion saying that. That's what our contract says.
Because I oppose this for different reasons than Mr. Fuller. I think that a more efficient way, if you wanted to bring down class size, rather than disrupt classes and make them combos and take away the math, and not math, the music and art classes, would be to just say we're not going to fill it once one of these second graders or first graders leaves. Because there's a certain amount of attrition that happens over a school year. I mean, we see that in our own classes, you know, and we don't do that. I think that's a much better way to deal with this than to disrupt the education of all those classes by maybe moving into combos and eliminating the music and art classes. To me, that seems a better compromise. If they're violating the contract, I don't believe necessarily they are. They are participating in class size reduction. They're not participating maybe the way we think they should, but they are still participating in class size reduction. I think that's open to debate. We haven't contacted our attorneys about this issue. I've seen nothing in writing from our attorneys about this issue. From what I can tell, I believe there's a case to be made. We are within the contract. They are within the contract, and we should find another way to work it out than to disrupt and micromanage these classes.
We did speak to the State Department that authorizes class size reduction, and this was the only option that they have at this time.
Can we find a break and get me that?
We have that. The school has that.
And I don't have that.
We can get that to you.
Please. And can we have a five-minute break and I can get that?
Yeah. Mr. Frutos, can you get that, please?
We're going to take a five-minute break so Mr. Spence can review the documents.
I need water.
Do we have any water?
Lutheran. It's not my choice. I mean, it's not, you know. They were thrilled. They got the application. Yeah. Yeah, she's just started kindergarten. So.
Willow and she
Has Ruben shared it with you yet?
No, I think he's waiting to see if it's the right document. He needs to show Lily first. That's what I think he's waiting for. Are you waiting for Lily to say that somewhere?
I think he wanted to take a
look at it. Look at it.
We all should look at it.
Here's the email from Rebecca Lee. She's the person in charge of that's the head code. What basically she said is that in a room, as they proposed it, like with two, you couldn't take the whole answer, the 36 with a square wedge.
No, right, but they could take the penalty.
Well, they may qualify for the assessor reduction. If they don't meet this qualification requirements, they already have the assessor
reduction. What do you mean they won't make the? What do you mean they won't make the?
Where is that? So where does it say that?
Right there. On the head code section 512.
No, but that's why they can't. No, they can have 22 in there.
The best thing would be to have them run it off. Take about 2 more minutes and go run it off. Have Monica run it off. Then it's in front of
us. Right. Okay. I know what we're proposing. Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm proposing, but they can't have 22 in there, size wise.
All you have to do is give them pages that we looked at.
I know what they propose. I'm just saying, I understand what they're proposing, right? They're proposing what was dictated to them. I understand that. But I'm saying they can't have 22 in the classroom. Okay.
And the next one that's highlighted is the
Ruben, can you make a copy for everybody?
Sure. Of the pages that we just talked about?
Yes.
You don't have to make a paper copy of the whole thing, just the pages you talked about. To me. I'll let Madam President worry about what she wants.
For the next week.
Really? Ruben's making a copy for everybody. Ruben had an explanation for Mike, so I'm going to have him give that.
He's printing out the emails for everybody.
Everyone will have the same information. I appreciate your patience, and Mr. Frutos is making copies, so as soon as he's back, we'll resume the meeting. But thank you for your patience. Mr. Frutos, can you share the explanation that you had just shared with Mr. Spence so the rest of the board will be privy to the information that you shared?
Basically, what we tried to do is when we met with San Jose Edison, they proposed a couple of different solutions, and the one that we tried to move forward with was the idea of putting in a room a larger number of students up to 32, if I remember correctly, between 32 and 40, and two teachers. It looked like we could do that. We talked to the state, and the person in charge of the class size reduction program basically stated the way the echo reads, which is the standard for the school in 1995-96, if the school was in existence, needs to apply to that school. So at first we thought we can do this because the standard for the district could do it. Then Rebecca Lee, which is the person in charge of class suggestion, said, no, if the school was not in existence, you cannot apply that law. Mm-hmm. It would be 2 days. So the only problem we reached is that we couldn't do the solution because the school wasn't. So then we tried to say, but wait a minute, it was in a different location or whatever, and they said the code didn't apply. So we had a problem meeting the standards of the Ed Code with the solution.
You mean the 40 in two class in one class, two
correct.
Teachers in one
correct.
Classroom. You mean that solution?
Correct.
Right. Correct. Yeah, I'm not arguing that. That's not what my point was.
that's the solution that we thought we could put forward, and mm-hmm. that according to the state it couldn't be.
Right. I mean, what I was, you know, and obviously you can always apply to a waiver to the state board for anything that the California Department of Education says. But, you know, to me, if we don't want to disrupt kids' education, we leave them in the classrooms as a first or second grader, whatever they are, leave out of those 22, we don't replace them. That way we don't take away the music classrooms, the art classrooms, and we don't start making combos. I mean, if the standard's going to be the best interest of the kids that are enrolled in there and we want to enforce this, you know, 20-1 on the school, to me, that seems a much more reasonable solution than this big disruption.
Ms. Shoemaker, did you have something?
Mr. Buck.
The question that concerns me, if we're looking at the best interest of all children in our district, I notice here that it's a benefit to the Edison students of $193,000, which is money that would be that West Covina Unified is losing. The students, if you looked at it, it's two different entities. So I know the money, if we look at it all as one, it's remaining here. But if you're looking at it at school sites, one school is have a benefit at the expense of the rest of the students in our district. So when we're looking at how to best meet all students' interests, we have to look at the big picture, and we have to look at all students. And it looks here like eventually in 3 years, the district, we'll never get that money back, but we can still stay within the parameters of the contract and meet the students' needs at Edison and not continue to take money from the district. Mr. Cox, you had something that you wanted to say?
When we're done, by adding the two teachers, what's the average class size going to be for first, second, and third grade? Are we back to 20?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So really all we've done is we've added the 36, so now we're just, the idea was to go from 20 to 22 or thereabouts. Would that be right, or more or less, that we per class? If that was the idea, that so without disruption to, I don't know where we got the information about the music and that, but the two classes, they basically the way it was originally intended is that now they'd go up to 22. Is that right? They'd go up to 22 in each class?
Yes.
Okay, and so now this is their waiver saying, no, since we've already hired the kids and we already did this, we'll make it good by adding two teachers and reconfigure two classrooms. And then, Cammie, real quickly on what you were saying, do we know for a fact that 28 of the students came from West Covina?
We know for a fact that there is 20 kids from West Covina, and there are some who requested permits that could or could not have had permits, but of the 36, 20 for sure came from our schools. Eight of them, some went from another charter school, others went from a permit, which we would have to have reviewed.
Yeah, my inclination is I just soon have them go up to the 22 as long as it's not a violation of the contract. It's not a lot, you know, it's not going to jeopardize the overall contract, and leave it at the 22 and not add the extra two teachers and not disrupt the music and art classes. It's just that's what I would do.
Ms. Shoemaker?
Okay. We're once again in a situation caused by Edison that the class size was changed, disregarding the contract, which says to stay with K through 3 class size reduction, and the rest of the grades have to be within what the district does. It's my understanding that it wouldn't just be 22 to the class, it's 23 or 24 depending on the level. But that could be incorrect. I'm hearing 22 tonight, so I'll just go with that. But I mean, we're really at a situation that is Edison's sole causing. It would have been just as easy before enrolling these students in violation of your contract to come to the board and say, look, you know, there's this waiver available from the state. We're in a fiscal situation where we believe that this is in our best interest. Will you grant us this waiver? Instead, you've enrolled 36 students, and now it is up to this board to decide whether or not we tell those students, sorry, Edison violated their contract and you need to be removed from the school, which would really disrupt them. Say, okay, we're going to grant you the waiver and let you be over the class sizes the rest of the districts are. Or we go with your solution, and this is Edison's solution, that there be combo classes. I am fine with the proposal because, once again, like our contract, which seems to be disregarded any time we turn around, this has been negotiated with Edison. This is what Edison has suggested to fix the problem that they created. It disappoints me to hear that you're going to have to convert a music and art room. You know, I would really prefer to see you guys have to purchase portables, find something else to put in there to put those students. I mean, this is something that should have been thought of before the unilateral decision was made to enroll the extra students. And I would really like to hear from Edison on their thoughts about this proposal before us.
Mr. Cox?
By making this change and increasing the class sizes by roughly 2 per classroom, and if they didn't add any teachers, then they're in essence not only, you know, I'm not sure they're in violation of the contract, but I'm not an attorney, so I can't make that judgment. There should be penalties. I mean, I would believe that the state would penalize us, the district, for the violation of class size reduction. And I would presume that in this discussion or in whatever that they've made some same determinations that, you know, they would cover the cost. I presume that they'd cover the cost. And as far as I'm concerned, again, if there are penalties and they'll cover the costs of those penalties and they want to do this as part of what they do. I mean, the idea is with the charter school is, you know, let them do what they do.
Would the penalties include the $193,000?
Well, let me just say that the state needs to know what the fiscal reasons are. Okay, it's not like you just get to waive this. You have to make an argument for the fiscal reasons that you're doing it. That's the first step. So let me call on Dr. White to address that issue.
Just the fiscal reasons?
Yes. Or this proposal, whatever she wants to do.
Well, I'm not as well versed about the penalties and everything, but what I do want to say is that the intent was to implement what the state gave the school the right to do. And that was that the way it was read and the way we implemented was the fact that we had an option to raise the class size for a specific number of years and take a penalty on the class size reduction funds.
Do you know what that quantified is? Can you quantify that? You don't have any idea.
Denise just... What was the amount that the penalty would?
10% for anything from 2 to 24.4 was 10%.
Okay. So based on my information, the reason I'm standing here today and Denise is here in the school is because the step that was missed is that we needed board approval to be able to implement that. So So we're proposing today, you know, graciously handled by the teachers at West Covina, to be able to come in compliance and meeting the class size reduction, and we've given you our best thoughts at this time. But again, it was not with malice. Our first intent was to use the option that the State Department had given us to be able to exercise over a certain period of years the class size penalty to increase by 22. So that's where we are.
Just let me clarify. Edison was without malice.
Yeah, we were without malice. Yeah.
Since we are.
I mean, it was to serve children.
But I want to reiterate, we're here because at this point, these kids are there, these families are there, okay? The state's intention on penalties was to help fiscally school districts or charter school that were fiscally needing to increase class size, okay? So the only way you can use the penalty or increase class size was to argue that you had a fiscal need, okay? Everyone in the state took a hit of, you know, 15%, everybody. Okay, our board chose to keep class size for our students. Therefore, our schools had to have combination classes. In many cases, families couldn't stay at their home school because there wasn't room at that particular school at that grade level. So those sacrifices were made because the board's position was that class size at 20-1 is an important program. Okay, I agree with Dr. White. If you're able to argue that fiscally you're not able to provide the programs that you need, then you could come to the board and ask and explain why fiscally you need to take advantage of this. So it's twofold. One is the decision was made without board approval, but secondly, the class size reduction and the penalties are for school districts who felt the penalty was worth taking because they needed the money. So I just want to be clear that there's two parts of that. Having said all that, we find ourselves here with children in the middle of this debate, and I believe that we need to do right by the kids. Okay, now, as a school district, the kids, the 20 kids or more that went to San Jose Edison are minus the budget in West Covina Unified. So the point is, those kids don't come free. The money that was coming here is now going to San Jose. We're willing to say, for now, because those kids are there, let's move forward, let's keep the kids, organize them. Much of the school is at proficiency or advanced levels. We can group these kids just like every other school and move forward. I believe that these are lessons, okay? These are lessons. As the state allows things, if the state allows something, does not take precedence over the contract that we have with Edison. I want to make that clear. Because the state offers something, but the charter school contract and management agreement are still what we go by unless a request is made for a waiver. And I think we've learned that lesson.
Ms. Shoemaker?
Will Edison have to apply for the waiver through the district or by themselves?
They won't need the waiver because they're going to hire two teachers.
If
it's approved. If they do, we actually are the ones that apply for the waiver, the district.
I would also like to hear the reasons Edison believed they're in such a fiscal situation that this waiver was necessary, that the class size was increased.
The simple fact that the decision was made, that I had made that decision when I had read the management agreement and I had read the language in there when it talked about from time to time, I thought it did give that those parameters. And I do apologize. I did not do it with malice whatsoever. The reason about the financial was because all districts were hit toward the end of the school year when the legislature took from our school $217,000 hit. And on the back end. And then when we came into the front end, we had also taken a hit. And because of the unstableness of it, and we're thinking, okay, is this going to be happening again as we look for that year? It was just a matter of a small cushion. It wasn't a huge thing, and it wasn't meant to be a huge thing. But that's basically it. It was that cushion. So if they come back and say districts and charter schools are going to be taking another percentage of a hit after we've already laid out our budget, it was going to give us that breathing room. And that was it.
So rather than forego $140,000 worth of bonuses, you decided that it would be best to increase class size in a district where we have made it our priority to keep class size small for the benefit of the students, is what I'm hearing. And once again, during the contract negotiations that went for 18 months, the fiscal stability of Edison and its corporate parent was of grave concern. And to hear that you were in a situation that you needed an extra cushion of this just reinforces that concern. And, you know, I really do not know where to go forward with this, except that I am not for yanking the students out of the school. I know that they are settled. They're there by parent choice. And so due to the fact that, you know, this has been negotiated with Edison and with the district staff as a solution, I see no reason to not move forward with that.
Mr. Cox?
The item 11 says a request from San Jose Edison for an amendment to the charter agreement. I don't see an amendment to that charter agreement. And then secondly, to approve the San Jose request, the motion would be to move to approve San Jose Edison's request for 2009-10, that request being forming two classes, hiring two teachers, and utilizing these two rooms. Does that need board approval?
Yes.
Every time they add, is it the fact that they're making a combo class that we're approving?
No,
that they're hiring two teachers that we're approving?
You're adding staff and enrollment to the school.
Okay, so but it, yet we're and saying that it's not going to exceed that the 1160 that the charter.
Next year.
Oh, I got it. Okay.
But this year they.
I understand.
Decided.
I understand.
Okay.
I didn't
on
see
their
it.
Own. Now we got to look at.
Any further discussion, Mr. Spence?
You know, I don't want to get into a detailed debate about that, but I do think that, you know, the only way, if our real concern is the $193,000, the only way we can get that back would be to yank the students out, not to approve this agreement. And, you know, we can make even more money if we yank more students out, but I think one of the assumptions in here is that the students that would be let go would be West Covina Unified students, one, and then two, those students would decide to go back to a regular West Covina Unified school. And we really don't have any numbers on that. And I understand Mr. Frutos does the best he can trying to figure out what the numbers might be or could be, but we really don't know if we did not approve this and then Edison picked two kids that were from outside West Covina Unified to go back, we would be up no money. In fact, we'd be losing money because we wouldn't be getting the 3% oversight and we wouldn't be getting the buyback services that each of those kids provide from outside the school district. So I don't want to get a lengthy debate about the money thing, because to me the money thing at this point is not the most important thing, but if we're going to act in the best interest of children, I'd like to find a way to keep them in the classes they're in now without eliminating the two electives, rather than this particular amendment to the charter, I guess. Would this be a separate page in the charter? How would that work? Because there's no legal language for the charter.
Well, let me just address, Mr. Spence, your issue. The majority of our elementary schools had counted on these students going into their schools. They had to reorganize in September as a result of 28 students not showing up at their doors. Family had to leave their home schools to go to another school because of the reorganization. So I don't want to minimize that by doing this when it was done, that it didn't have just $193,000 worth of a problem. problem. We also had a lot of parents crying because their kids could no longer go to the home school.
Can I get my
so
my
I just want to make sure that you understand when you minimize this to that level.
She's not answering my question.
That
yes, she is.
No, she isn't. What's the question is this going to be a separate thing in the agreement? I don't want to minimize it. I also don't want to maximize it.
Who's
this is going to be an amendment as stated.
This is going to be a separate page.
The president can
say
if he's asking, answering the question.
Let Ms. Castillo answer if there's going to be a decision.
The Board of Education can waive portions of that agreement.
Right.
This, based on the way it's worded, would be an amendment to that charter agreement for the length of time that we've stated.
Okay, so it wouldn't be a separate page added to this thing. It would just be a waiver that we've approved separately.
Exactly.
Okay, and we could also approve a waiver that will let the kids stay in their current classrooms, and if one first grader leaves, it goes to 21, and if one leaves, it goes to 20. We could do that as well. Is that correct?
That's not the request before you.
I understand that. I didn't ask that.
So if you want to run the school and have them come with that request, that's different. But that's not the request
the school. We're telling what classes they got
to take. The school came forward. The school came forward with their program request.
You're out of order.
I'm out of order?
Yes.
We are running the school. She asked me if I wanted to run the school.
Someone else has the table. Someone else has the table.
She asked me if I wanted to run the school.
Yes, we want to run the school, Mrs. Spence.
Can
we move on?
We are running the school.
Okay, so this would be an amendment.
We are running the school.
You are out of order.
Do I have the floor or not?
No.
Oh, it's gone. Great. Good.
Okay, so we don't always get the response we like or we want.
Right.
Okay, we aren't in the situation that we are because of a decision that was made at the school. Okay, I did not pick to move music or art. I did not pick to add anything. Okay, that was a decision made at the school. Okay, the school has different ways of adding classrooms. If they want to pay for portables, they can bring in portables. If they want to add classroom space, we can talk about that. But right now, what's before us is what I believe is the best solution given the predicament that the district is in.
Is there any further discussion? We worked on the contract a long time, and one of the reasons we put a cap on how many students could be, we looked at capacity of the school. We also looked at the benefit of all of the district as a whole, and we talked about that for a long time. When this was done, it's my understanding that looking at it from the district's perspective did not come into place, and they didn't realize the cost to the district and how this was going to affect the students in our other schools, having to change the way classes were organized. And that's why when we worked on the contract, we tried to make it comprehensive so this would not happen. And I hope in the future that that there's an understanding now that any time there's going to be a change to the contract, that it has to come to us. This is the only thing we have in front of us right now. And my understanding, if this is voted down, that the students will leave because there isn't another option before us at this time.
Correct.
Is there a motion on this item?
I'll move it.
Is there a second?
Can I ask a clarification?
Yes.
Thank you. When you say that tomorrow, the kids will be eliminated from the classes. Isn't the reality, if this was defeated, that Edith can say we have another plan and ask to bring it to the board before we knocked on doors and picked out two kids and threw them out?
Logistically, this is the only plan before you. If the board votes not to give them this plan, tomorrow they would be notifying those families to go back to their home resident schools in West Covina. Yes, that's the answer. They could not come up with another plan because it's not before us. Okay, they could go back, and then we can yank them back with a new plan.
Well, they could provide. Well, we haven't yanked them out yet.
No, but you're asking me if we yank them out.
So you really think that tomorrow we would yank them out of class and not allow Edison two more weeks to come up with another plan?
If Edison
that's
had...
That's what we would do.
This is the plan that Edison proposed to us. Now, if they had other alternatives that were worked out, we would have had options.
Okay.
Now, and I'm not for yanking any children out of school.
So
they've made the movement to the school.
Mm-hmm. Why couldn't this is my question, and I'm not getting an answer. Why is it that if this was voted down, Edison couldn't submit tomorrow another plan to the district to deal with this issue? Why is that impossible? That's what I don't get.
Because the waiver isn't there.
It wasn't there yesterday either, and we didn't
know. Thank you very much for reminding me. Edison did it on their own. We gave them the courtesy of a vote.
So I don't understand why
they
can't do it.
Tomorrow the waiver isn't there, and I would suggest that if it doesn't, the 36 that were enrolled, those 36 be the ones that you deal with.
That's what I understand. That's why they can't do that.
Any other discussion? There's a motion on the floor. It was moved by Jessica Shoemaker and seconded by Steve Cox to approve San Jose's request for the 2009-2010 school year. All in favor?
Aye.
Noes?
No.
No.
Mr. Cox?
I'll vote yes.
I'm going to vote yes on this. It's 3-2, with Mr. Spence being a no vote, and Mr. Ford. That moves us to the end of the agenda. Mr. Spence had mentioned that one of his items was not agendized, and that, yes, there was some information that was dropped off, although on reviewing that, there was no new language in that proposal, at least the one that I saw. It was just a motion that it moved to the governor.
There were actually two separate bills that were dropped off. One is that's being proposed, if I can explain real quick, one that's being proposed in the special session, which the governor wants to wrap up in October, and one was a bill that was literally being voted on the following day that is now on the governor's desk to be signed on October 11th, or by, he has to make a decision by October 11th, which is past our board meeting. You know, my problem was when I asked the clarifying questions about tabled until what time, and the answer was more information from the state. When
from
I provided
state.
More information from the state,
from
that
the
didn't get
state.
It agendized. Excuse me.
From the state.
Excuse me. When I provided the information from the state.
Mr. Fuller. Mr. Spence has the floor. Mr. Spence has.
You know what? It's fine. They didn't want to talk about it. They wanted to hide behind the tabling motion. There might be another chance if the governor vetoes SB 19, which he's talking about doing, then we can deal with it again another time. But it'd be much better just to have a straight up vote and a discussion.
I would appreciate the next time that you have something that new information that you're asking me to have agendized, that you email it to me. You have my email
Instead
address.
Instead of giving it to the district?
You can give it to Ms. Castillo too. And
I
that
gave
would
it to Monica on Tuesday. That's not good.
Oh, I'm asking you if you could just email it to me to give me
sure.
a heads up so I can look at it. I would really appreciate
you got it
that.
On Wednesday, right?
Pardon me?
Did you get it on Wednesday when you came in? I gave it to her on Tuesday last week. Did you get it on Wednesday?
What I looked at, it didn't look like there was any changes in the language. So what I would
I'll
like to do.
I'll email you as well. I know as well.
I appreciate that. Thank you,
Mr.
Smith.
Yes. Just say that I don't think the information needs to go to you, to Ms. Lace Castillo, or to Mrs. Kelly, because there needs to be a motion to remove it from the table, and until that's before
us. No, that's not true. It was moved to a time certain.
You're actually correct, because since it was tabled and wasn't acted on, it can't come back.
No, it was tabled until a certain point.
Is there any other board comments?
Yeah, well, we'll fight every week.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
I said we'll talk about it every week until I can get the hearing based on the board's resolution.
Any other comments? Okay, we adjourn at 8:25.